course, it is always easy to move with the current, to drift with the tide, to shout with the multitude. But ease is not the condition either of righteousness or of true progress. In the home, in society, in business, in the national life, and sometimes in the church, the multitude may be wrong. Then the soul must refuse to follow, must stand alone. To do so will bring strain and stress, but it will always discover strength, for it will find God. This is a quote coming to you from G. Campbell Morgan. Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Now, this verse of scripture is going to be our main text. For the purpose of this broadcast, we will study and look at this scripture, but then at the end of the broadcast, we will examine other verses that relate to it. Okay, once again, Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Now, the first application of these words was to the subject of the administration of justice. And it's talking about the popular prejudice being allowed to influence the judgment against an individual. And it could be, we could use the modern day example of the liberal media trying to use prejudice to influence judgment against a certain candidate that's running for office. This verse reminds us that popular opinion is not always right. And there's a very false catchword that has had great vogue. It's written in the Latin, and it's read like this: Vox populi, vox Dei. Vox populi, vox Dei. And what it means is the voice of the people is the voice of God. But we have to say from history and from experience, the voice of the people is by no means always the voice of God. Majorities have so often been wrong. G. Campbell Morgan added this to say, he said, "The history of all right movements has been, in the first place, the history of lonely souls who, having heard the authentic voice of God, have stood alone or in small minorities." And based on this came the famous epigram, "One with God is a majority." Just because a multitude of people may champion a particular cause doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Let me say that again. Just because a multitude of people may champion a particular cause doesn't necessarily mean that it is right. Okay, our verse of scripture is, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." But more strictly rendered is this version: "Thou shalt not follow the many to evil." So basically what it's saying, the better way of saying it is, thou shalt not follow the many to evil. First of all, you hear that command, that prohibition, "Thou shalt not." And what's being prohibited is following the multitude. But what's assumed in that prohibition is that the multitude do evil. And this is inferred from the review of past ages or from the cruel persecutions that have been raised against the righteous in the past, or even just the common conduct of mankind. As you look back, you will see that the majority usually does evil. Very seldom do you see the majority doing good, except maybe in a revival setting. But for the most part, the multitudes do go after evil. And what's supposed in this restriction or this command is the danger of this, the multitude being a dangerous guide, an unprofitable, bad, or dishonorable guide. Okay, what Moses was saying here was that you are not to run to evil because you see others run. And also the danger to consider, the danger arises because our nature is social. We are wired this way that we want fellowship. We want to be accepted. We want to be a part of something. And the natural enemy is aloneness, is solitariness. Nobody wants to stand alone. They want to be a part. They want to be popular. They want to be accepted. And so considering this, you see the danger of what this is saying, the danger that's set before us. And God is saying here that he would have you fence yourself with a rule of prudence and not to be misled by the crooked steps of others or even by your own perverse inclinations. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Now we want to stop here and just consider the influence of the crowd. Listen to what the pulpit commentary had to say. There is an infectiousness in the example of a crowd which only a firm backbone of principle and some independence of mind will enable us to resist. The tendency is to follow the multitude even when it is to do evil. Men like to be on the side that is popular. They dread the reproach of singularity. There are those who would almost rather die than be out of the fashion. So you see, the tendency is to follow the multitude, even if it's to do evil. And men like to be on the side of what's popular. And there is that dread of the reproach of singularity. Now, just to give you an example of the influence of the crowd, consider yourself, okay, as a believer. You have a strong conviction in an area, but you have other Christians who do not share your conviction. And so many are engaged in a practice that you're against or you feel is not right. And they don't call it evil. In fact, they put a new name on it to make it look good. And then they invite you to join them and, you know, make it seem, well, this isn't very bad. Look, there's so many of us. Could we all be wrong? And, you know, they call it something other than what it really is. And so you start considering it and you belie your convictions. You start negating your convictions and then you cave in. You do what the crowd bids you to do. Now, if you are a person that's governed by the fear of man more than the fear of God, or you seek the praise of man more than the honor coming from God, then you are certain every time to fall prey to the influence of the crowd, that they will get you each time. We have to remember that the fashion of the clay can never make right what the law of God declares wrong. The voice of the multitude can say one thing today, but tomorrow they can say a totally different thing. But one thing about the truth, God's word, it always remains the same. And no matter what others are thinking, that it can never be lawful for you to act contrary to your own convictions. Even if the multitude is bent on doing evil, that your duty is not to go with the flow, with the multitude, but to be a witness for the truth in opposition to their course. And just never forget that God is there, the judge of all judges. He's there, and he will surely call you into account for your faithfulness or your unfaithfulness to conviction. The example of the many is to be shunned. And we see this not only in Exodus 23:2, but in Matthew 7:13-14, the Lord Jesus, his own words, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many, the multitude, the crowds, the majority, they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. And he went on to say, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The pulpit commentary said this: it is extraordinary that so many, even of professing Christians, are content to go with the many, notwithstanding the warnings against so doing, both of the law and of the gospel. Imagine that. Many, even of professing Christians, are content to go with the many. But Jesus said the broad way is never the better or safer because it's the most crowded or because it's been tracked by so many footsteps. Okay, so we see, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Now we're going to look at scriptures and see examples of, first of all, the multitude doing evil. And we're going to see also people who failed to stand against the multitude. Exodus 32, 1 through 6 is our first example. This is what it says. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, brought them to Aaron. He received them, he fashioned it with a graving tool, and he made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now we see here the people unanimously gathering themselves together. They saw that Moses wasn't coming down from Mount Sinai, so they went to Aaron and they said, Aaron, make us gods which shall go before us. Now Aaron had his opportunity. He could have stood up and said to them, what in the world has come over you, people? What's wrong with you? We're not going to do that. Do you want to bring down the wrath and judgment of God Almighty on us? This is insane. God is the only God. That he is the one that brought us out of Egypt. Why are you doing this? No, instead, he followed the multitude to do evil. Notice the multitude was after evil. What Aaron said was, well, okay, I'll go along with you. He said, break off your golden earrings and bring them to me. And so they did. And he went along and he made a molten calf. And then they're all in unanimously saying, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, you have to wonder, okay, Aaron flunked. He failed the test. But wasn't there anyone else in this group of people thinking, wait a minute, this isn't right. We just came out of Egypt, the place of idolatry. We saw how God brought judgment on Egypt for all those idols. What are we doing? Wasn't there somebody in the crowd that was thinking this and wondering, you know, this isn't right. This isn't the right way to go. But no, apparently not. Even if they were thinking it, they followed a multitude to do evil. Then we go over to Numbers 14. And the backdrop of this is that there was 12 spies sent into Canaan to check out the land. And 10 came back with an evil report. 2, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. Now notice the multitude, the majority, came back with an evil report, saying, we can't go up. We're not able to go up into this country. The giants are there. Now, okay, we start with Numbers 14, verse 1. This is how the people reacted. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Okay, besides Joshua and Caleb, in this group, because it says all the congregation, the whole congregation, all the children of Israel. You mean to tell me that there was not within this group somebody who was thinking, wait a minute, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to that slavery, to that extreme oppression, to that torture chamber. Are you kidding? I don't want to do this. But it doesn't say that anyone stood up and stood alone against the multitude. They just all followed the multitude to do evil, except for Joshua and Caleb, that is. Okay, then we go over to 1 Samuel 15, and the backdrop of this is where God spoke to Saul and the people, and he said, smite Amalek, utterly destroy all they have. And then we start off in verse 9, and this is what it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep, of the ox, and the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then here comes the prophet Samuel, and he says to Saul, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep, the lowing of the oxen? And Saul said, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel said, you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. And Saul said, yes, I did. But the people took the spoil, and they took it to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, Saul could have stood up and said, wait a minute, no, we're not disobeying God here. God said, smite Amalek, utterly destroy all they have. He could have stood up and told the multitude, we're not going that way. But instead, he followed the multitude to do evil. He failed the test. But I have to ask again, wasn't there somebody in the crowd that was thinking, wait a minute, God told us that we're to utterly destroy all the Amalekites and all that they have. What are we doing here? We're going to bring down the wrath and judgment of God on us. But notice what they did. They followed the multitude to do evil. There was none found to stand alone. Okay, now we're going to slip over to scriptures that show us those who did have the courage and the boldness and the grace to stand against the multitude. Genesis 6:12 tells us, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But Genesis 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, except for one man, Noah and his family. Noah lived for God. He walked with God. He was seen righteous before God in his generation. He did not follow the multitude to do evil. Then we go over to Joshua 24:15, and we see Joshua telling the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, he was talking to a group, a crowd of them, that he said, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. There were a group of them, a majority of them, or a group, a multitude of them, that were following their parents. The parents were idolaters. The parents worshipped idols. So they just followed what the parents did. And then he said, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Then there were those, a group of them, that were following the gods of the society in which they lived. And so he said, okay, choose who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your parents or the gods of your society. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He stood against the multitude to do evil. He said, doesn't matter what you all do, I'm serving the Lord. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then in 1 Kings 19:10, Elijah stood up and he said, the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword. But I have been very jealous for the Lord. And here against the multitude that was doing evil, Elijah stood up and said, no, I'm serving God. I'm doing what's right. And lastly, in Galatians 2:11-13, here we have the example of what was happening is Peter came to Antioch, and the Jews of Antioch, Barnabas, they all got caught up with this dissembling. What they did was they ate with the Gentiles. But when James came from Jerusalem, James of the circumcision, he came to Antioch. All of a sudden, Peter, the Jews, and Barnabas, they would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. When Peter came, or when James came to town, they stayed away from the Gentiles. But when James left town, then they fellowshiped with the Gentiles. And Paul stood up and rebuked Peter to his face. He said, I'll have nothing to do with this hypocrisy, this dissimulation. And so he did not follow the multitude that did evil. He stood for what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now in closing, I want to give you this admonition that the Lord, this goes along with our main text, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. It's found in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 4. Proverbs 1, 10 and 11, 15 and 16 says, my son, if sinners, but let's, for the purpose of this message, let's replace. If the crowd, the multitude, or the majority entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And then in Proverbs 4, 14, 15, it says, enter not in the path of the wicked or the multitude. Go not in the way of the crowd, the majority. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. God did not call Christians to an easy walk. There will be times when you will be required to go against the current, against the tide, against the multitude. There will be times when the multitude will be wrong, and they will be going the way of evil, and you will be required to stand alone. Remember, there's a tendency to follow the crowd, but you must stand alone. God is requiring it. You must stand alone. You must make that choice today. I am not going to follow the crowd. I am going to stand alone. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for conviction, your Holy Ghost conviction, to come on those under the sound of my voice. I pray that you would show people where they have followed the crowd, where they have compromised their convictions. And Lord, I pray for grace to repent, to make things right with you in this regard. And also I pray, oh God, that you will release grace, more grace, greater grace, that there would be the grace to be able to stand and to stand alone in a society that a majority, the multitude that's going evil, that there would be the grace, the boldness, the strength to stand alone for you in this last hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.